I know the DJ.
Do you?
You gotta. 90s baby, stand up.
You're coming back because I'm blowing in it. Pause. I take my craft serious.
Get the hell out of here. I don't owe you shit.
What the fuck is that?
You didn't say one. I said three. Stopped. And then you say one. Quick it. What the fuck? You didn't say one. You said three, two.
And then the second I'm supposed to say one, it's
on the two. And then you press one.
So what's
one,
the point of the countdown? What's the point of the countdown?
To get ready within that. So but, obviously three.
But the recording, but the recording cut your. It's just stupid. It's just you're ruining.
No, it didn't catch
ruining
it.
The fucking thing.
Welcome to episode 86 of But no, I Know the
DJ. Hold the fuck on.
It's 87.
After one, you cut it off, motherfucker. What are you talking about? Shit, let me clear my throat.
Like, yeah, let's wait till the very last second so I can clear my throat, even though I've been sitting here for 20 minutes.
All right, silence on the pitch.
Yeah, but isn't that the point of the countdown in case someone needs to clear their throat as you're about to
start? Oh, the producers have a mic now, so this is about to get annoying.
Oh, I love it. Welcome to episode 87. But I Know the DJ, the original New England podcast discussing all things DJing, music, nightlife, business, and pop culture. To the unfiltered opinion.
Wow,
snacks.
Try that
give me
again,
snacks,
please.
Baby.
One more time.
Give me snacks, baby.
And DJ's fingers. Cammy V.
DJ Cammy V.
Here for the end of the year episode, and as mentioned, our I feel like almost mysteriously famous producers Phil and EJ have a mic now.
Yeah, man.
Say what's up, guys.
What's up,
use
boys?
The fucking mic.
Yeah. What up?
There we go.
Because I feel in a lot of the past episodes, we always like refer to you guys, or you guys kind of want to say something, but we can, and then there's a weird pauses, but no one knows what's happening.
We can like kind of hear you in the background.
Yeah. So now we can all just interact, and they're constantly working and flowing back there, and so you know we're excited to see what kind of contributions are made moving forward as we enter the new year. And pretty much everyone does at the end and beginning of every year is, you know, kind of recap. And so we're going to go through a lot of, you know, musical best ofs, personal best ofs, and it's going to be a great, great show. So welcome, everybody. And just happy holidays, guys.
Yeah, happy holidays.
How was your holidays? How was everything with family? How was it?
Bro, I probably gained extra 15 pounds. I ate about my own body weight worth of fish for Feast of the Seven Fishes for the Italians on New Year's Eve.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
You know, it is. Nice, Nana was fucking cooking this
year. Going
what
crazy.
Kind of fish you guys eat, though?
Seven different fishes. So this year, it was shrimp, crab. We did bacala. We did, nice. She does like... Honestly, I couldn't even tell you because one of the sauces that she does like a pasta. And just like whatever she has, she just kind of throws in. Like there's mussels in there. I'm like, dude, it's fucking outstanding.
It's like a jambalaya.
I look forward to it every year, man. It's
nice,
so good.
Nice,
yeah.
Nice.
That's awesome, man. So what's your mercury levels looking like right now?
My gout is on a 15 out of 10.
Phil
triggered. Triggered.
Triggered.
Oh, my
Phil,
God.
You got your meds back there? I'm going to need a couple.
Mine was good, man. You know, it was for the kids. I celebrated a birthday as well on the 20th.
Yeah, yeah.
Happy
belated birthday.
So,
you know, 34. So
looking good.
Thank you, man. But, yeah, it was for the kids. Kids had fun, you know. Now, do you guys feel like at this age, like, it's just like, it didn't feel like Christmas to me for some reason this year?
Yeah, it just shifts. Like, we don't really do gifts, my family. Like, it's just kind of like, hey, like, we all got bills we got to pay for. It. Hey, good to see you guys. Like it's more like a family day and
get
like
together.
which is actually pretty.
Yeah,
good.
Which is
that's
which
awesome.
More important. Yeah, and then it's like and then for like I have like nieces and stuff and it is more for the kids for the present stuff. Like we'll do like a general like we did like a Yankee swap or white elephant whatever you guys call it, and just for like the fun stuff. But you know we have like a max on the price and like it's nothing crazy and it's just like all very random and that's a good times. But it is about like the games that we play and the food that we eat and. And then just getting together.
Now, do you just do your immediate family, or do they have cousins and stuff come by?
Yeah, I mean, the family that I have in the States isn't that big, but my family is really big. It's just who we have here. So it's pretty small and intimate. There was probably only like I don't know, 12 of us or something like that.
Yeah.
Nothing crazy. And I think everyone is like, we all work hard and stuff. Like, everyone's more just like chilling and stuff, and we talk and hang out and stuff.
And it's, it hasn't been snowing for like three Christmases, so it kind of doesn't
It's weird. Yeah,
outstanding weather.
Yeah, yeah, I think
it's great. I don't mind it because, you know, Christmas, you want to move around. Holidays, you want to jump places to place when it's snowing. It's kind of makes it harder. But that was kind of the aesthetic of growing up in New England is getting that snowy winter. Yeah.
I think the season is just like shifting a little bit over. Like, I think we're going to get it. It's just going to come
it
all
comes
May,
later on. It's February, March.
Which kind of sucks because, like, when we start thinking about, like, then the spring seasons or the spring months, rather, like March, April, like, I think those are going to be really cold and maybe even snowy.
We get like snow St. Patty's Day.
I think, and so I think just the everything is just going to shift over a little bit, which I don't really like, but you know, that global warming, man, what are you gonna do? what are you gonna do?
Buy more shorts.
Yeah, man, so I'm glad you guys had a good holiday season. Then we're going, as like I said, to New Year's. So you guys, how do you guys feel about 2023 and going into 2024?
I learned a lot. 2023 was a mess.
Was it?
I feel like we're coming back from, like, we're still recovering from COVID, and, you know, people just weird. Things are just weird. it was just weird. I feel like the nightlife went through a big change in Boston.
Yeah.
And then personally myself, you know, just, you know, being a new dad to a young one again, that was fun to go through that. That was diapers and stuff like that. Man, shout out to Kai. But, other than that, it's just really was really just, you know, honing and focusing on myself and kind of like getting myself ready for the next year, because, you know, I'm really excited to really get back into it.
Mm-hmm.
Like I kind of took it slow this year, which I wanted to. I've been doing this for a while, so I told myself just, you know, take it easy and be there for the fam and stuff like that. But yeah, this year was a lot happened, a lot went on. It was just weird all of a sudden. And then the end of the year has just been bombarded with just mad shit. Good, bad. It's just a lot to talk about, but we made it. We're here. I'm alive, and I always tell myself, you know, as long as you wake up, you have a chance to make it a good day.
Yeah,
you know, so
no doubt, bro.
There's no complaining of that, but I'm ready. I'm ready for it. I'm ready for the new year. I'm ready to go in, you know, hard, balls deep. You know what I'm saying?
Love that. Hey, that's a great way to look at it. Yeah, no, I mean to your point, I feel like 2023 was definitely weird. Especially from like a musical lens, and I feel like from like a financial lens as well. I know we've talked about it before on the show, but nightlife just wasn't what we're accustomed to seeing. I feel like, you know, growing up DJing in the city, like we're used to seeing like Thursdays, Fridays, Saturdays, like clubs are packed, you know, a lot of people going out to the bars. And I feel like this year it was like hit or miss a lot more than, you know, a lot more than businesses are used to seeing, a lot more than, you know, DJs are used to seeing. Like, there's nights where it's like, damn, like, okay, like half capacity,
which
gotta work with it.
I think was speed tracked. The shift was speed tracked by the pandemic. I think it kind of put a few years, like it pushed a few more years than what it should have been. Like, I feel like this switch came really fucking quick, but I feel like the pandemic made it happen quicker.
Yeah. I mean, you know, again, not trying to like get into the whole bag of dissecting like the consequences of, you know, the government shelling out tons of money, but like, no, inflation's a fucking real thing. You know, one way or another, we're gonna have to start paying for it, and cost of living is more expensive. So in turn, you know, a lot of people have to make cuts elsewhere, and like let's just face it, like going out is a luxury. It's not a necessity. Yep. So.
No, absolutely. And you know, definitely a weird year, but I think still some highlights. You know, I think
a
lot of us had personal highlights, you know, like you said, you know newborn and everything. Cammy's also new dog dad.
Baby Lorenzo.
So you know, a lot of great things. And what are some things you're looking forward for 2024?
Just continuing to do bigger gigs. I feel like this 2023, with like all the ups and downs and everything, I feel like this year just continuing to level up and, you know, kind of find my sound as like a more of an artist, so to speak. Like, you know, I found, you know, I feel like now I have more of a presence when I go to like places. People are now like starting to realize like, okay, like, you know, there's a benefit to paying me a certain amount of money to come and do their events.
Nice.
You have a sound, you have an aura.
Yeah, exactly. I have a presence. Like, people are now starting to notice like, hey, there is, you know, financial benefits for us paying you an extra $200 because we're going to make it back, and, you know, from bar sales, what have you. That and then also, you know, just doing bigger shows. Like I got linked up with Sammy Adams and, you know,
congrats.
Thank you. So that's been huge, doing a bunch of his shows, touring the country with Slacker. So yeah, just, you know, continuing to level up.
Yeah. And that, exact goal starts all right, on New Year's Eve into, New Year's Day. Let us know about your, New Year's Eve plans.
New Year's Eve. You can find me at Boston City Hall Plaza. And, you know, if you don't want to be out there in the cold, you can also see me on TV. It'll be on NBC, local nice. NBC. It's going to be...
Still might be 50 degrees. Who knows?
Honestly, I might be wearing shorts out there. So, yeah. So, myself and Sammy Adams are doing the headline spot for First Night Boston. And again, there's first nights in pretty much every city. There you go. I didn't know what's going on. There's first cool. nights in...
Playing some music.
Yeah, that's all good. There's first nights in pretty much every other city in the country. And this year, Boston, the headline set, Sammy Adams, and I'll be playing the tunes for him as well, so he'll be on stage.
Hell yeah.
Pump, man. Really looking forward to it.
DJ Cammy V.
Love that.
Me, I will be at Bodega Canal.
Yep.
Not a boy.
Third year in a row.
Love that.
I love it. Shout out to the guys, the old dog over there. We're already sold out, so it should be fun. Looking forward to this year. Like I said, this year, you know, 2023, I did a lot of preparation, linking up with dudes overseas. You know, through my production. So next year will be a lot of more traveling, connecting those dots and stuff like that. So, like I said, I'm really taking, you know, 34. I'm taking that next 10 year step to just really get to where I want to get to as far as a producer, a DJ, and just entertainer. You know what I'm saying? Really going to put my all into it. So, I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to, like I said, bigger gigs and just traveling the world. I really want to travel the world. I want to see. I feel like this, since we're here, I feel like we're bigger than where we at.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I feel like our sound, our aura, our energy deserves the world. So people need to hear us. So that's where I'm taking it next. And so just connecting those dots and making sure that, you know, I just learn new things and link up with new people and just touch the streets, man. Touch the streets one last go around.
Love that.
Love that.
Yeah.
And Snacks, talk to us.
Yeah, no, I mean, this year was great. A lot of firsts and a lot of bucket list checkoffs. Did an arena, did a baseball stadium, Las Vegas, Atlanta, Miami. You know, very, very, very happy with what I was able to do. And I just kind of want to do that to another multiple coming in. The jamming stuff with you fingers.
Huge.
Shout out to that. So,
yeah, consistent placement there is really cool. So building on that. And yeah, I think the travel thing is huge. Wanting to do that more because it's crazy how much you learn, like on these like really short trips, even just doing one gig out there, how much you learn from like how people react and how other DJs play and kind of what these different cities demand out of you as a DJ is really, really eye-opening. So doing that more and then you're able to bring that back home and become stronger in that way. So, you know, just excited. Want to do more festival type stuff, just like bigger stuff, you know what I mean? And, you know, very, very excited. So, you know, with all that being said, I think going into New Year's Eve, all of our New Year's Eve gigs as DJs is I want to talk about what the ball drop song is this year and why is it Ski E?
Ski.
I mean, it's crossed over, so you can definitely play that wherever you go. But I don't think it's gonna be Ski for me.
Thing is, if we think about in the past of what we've talked about, would
yep,
it makes sense that it would. But I do think it would be wild to do it. You know what I mean?
How would you go about doing it? Is what I want to know. How would you go about, like, because it's not like. You know, usually it's got to be more cinematic. Like, I feel like... But here's the deal. It's got to be a time when you got to play something that, like... Because you need to have, like, that 15 to 30 seconds of, like, everyone, like, oh, kissing, hugging.
So, I'm deaf. So, the first song is... It's always going to be the New Year's song, the traditional, for me. I like that aesthetic to where, like, when the ball drops and then that song comes. I even played the original one, like a piano version, sax version. It just, the feel of seeing everyone doing that, it's kind of like a slow motion thing for me when that happens. Everything kind of stops for me.
Yeah.
So then when that happened, you did a good edit that I played last year, which was
oh yeah, yeah, yeah,
yeah.
I'm good. Fire.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Went
yeah.
into the, and then it went into that. That was perfect. That was perfect.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward for something like that. I'm just not sure what the song is yet.
I feel I feel like last year we were so it was so easy.
It was easy.
Yeah.
And I think it just comes with the shift of music. Is that I was thinking about it earlier when I was like just writing down the notes for today's show, and I was just like, yo, I actually don't fucking know.
I feel like
that's what I mean. I think Ski fits the criteria, but it's not the right song.
No,
I think it might be a reoccurring song that we play.
It could be that, but also I like to throw another song in the ring. I think Fiend might actually be that next song.
I think it's too narrow for crowd wise. I think that only works
but
with
you
like,
could do a, more a specific... with it. You could do more with it.
That actually goes off really well with the New Year's song.
It depends where you are.
What's it called? It's fuck.
Producers, what's the New Year's song called again?
It's like the odd something.
You guys supposed to have your computers out typing.
What do you mean the New Year's song?
The New Year's traditional song. The ball drops.
It's
balls drop.
They're young. The young producers.
Fuck, it's gonna bother me now.
Phil's looking up.
But
it's like the New Year's ballad or something like that. I forget. Fuck.
Is it by Mariah Carey?
No, it's not.
It's not All I Want for Christmas.
It's odd
long sin.
By Mariah Carey.
Guy Lombardo.
By Mariah.
Is it by Mariah?
It's not. No,
it's not by Mariah Carey. Does she have a version?
This.
Da-da.
Yeah, this would go into Fiend like crazy.
Yeah, but it just depends on what room you're in, I think.
I don't think it matters. I think you can play an edit of Fiend. Yo!
Wait, where do I loop it? Yo, this would be kind of crazy.
I rest my case.
But it depends.
It depends on what room you're in.
Yeah,
it's like,
I don't care.
If I'm in a room full of white girls and like a bunch of middle-aged white people, I'm not gonna go into Fiend like that. I'm just not gonna do it. I don't think that's the. You know,
Travis played this 15 times at his show, his Boston show.
Yeah, it's done before though. It's been done before.
Kanye.
Yeah,
Kanye. Ain't
I know. But I think
they did it like 12 times or something like that.
In Paris was the record.
Now he's doing it in every city, I think.
Yeah, he's doing it in every city, yeah.
So, I don't want to get too sidetracked, but so what was his set list? Did he do 10 songs and Fiend 15?
Well, he had no opener, I heard. So I heard he was on for like an hour and a half. He was on for like 90 minutes.
He has the songs.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
No,
yeah,
he
yeah.
does, but and that's what I want to know.
Yeah. If you're doing Fiend 15
times.
No, but he only does the beginning.
I don't
he doesn't
think
do the full song. Like so he does the fiend, and then he brings and then he just
come
brings
outside,
it back to the end. Yeah, and then he only does that. He only did that part 15 times.
That's kind of sick.
So go fiend.
Yeah,
I heard
that like for every section, he was like, okay, this section now, and he would just like move on and do the whole like.
That's kind of sick.
Yeah,
dude. That's
yeah
I think
sick.
I've never seen like the Loge like mosh pit like that. Like,
yeah.
Take their
yeah.
shirts off
yeah,
and
yeah,
shit
yeah,
like
yeah,
that.
Yeah,
it was crazy to see.
Yeah. And the set was sick.
That's fire.
The set was actually pretty
sick. Yeah, it was pretty dope. Pretty dope.
Anyway, I like Fiend being it, but I think it really it needs to be a young crowd.
Hence why I said music's definitely like musically this year. It's just like a weird
damn.
Place.
Like I feel like last year there was like three EDM songs or like pop like up-tempo songs that we were talking about. And I can't think
easily.
Of like
this year.
This year of like what was like the biggest.
I might have to go back and play I'm Good Again.
A little Uzi. I just want to rock.
That was last year.
As I'm saying, I think we might have to go back.
I feel like that's kind of whack.
I think we might have to go back. Nicki Minaj, Everybody, is that too soon?
Too soon.
I think that's like a song number three after the ball drop or something
like
that.
Yeah, biggest songs.
That's like number two or number three.
I think Rich Baby Daddy might be like.
I can see that's why I couldn't play that to start
that.
To start 2024.
Well, that's what I'm saying, but like it'd be in the first like five songs.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like Ski's just like too aggressive. I mean, if you think that
Fiend's too
aggressive then.
Damn.
Fiend would sound good, though. That's all I'm going to say.
I'm definitely playing Journey second.
You're playing what?
Acapella Journey second. You said she got to hold on. After I drop the song.
That's not Journey.
It's not Journey? No, that's Living on a Prayer.
Bon Jovi.
I'm definitely doing that second.
Hey, Bon Jovi.
I'm definitely doing that.
Yeah.
Then maybe I'll play for
interesting.
Imagine the whole crowd screaming that shit at that time.
Bon Jovi over.
Oh no, you might have to play it before the ball drop. We're halfway there. Hey, yo, copyright my shit. I know him. Look at his face. Look at his face.
I'm not playing that to that crowd. Yeah. I'm not playing to that crowd this year.
Oh, yeah, you're going to be playing Calm Down. What are you doing? Yeah, but you have like a hip-hop crowd, right? Like,
yeah, I have a very urban crowd.
I don't think you told everyone where you're at.
Yeah, I'll be at Paradise Rock Club with Ben, with Ballad Entertainment, me, Papa Don Real P.
Damn. Meek Mill. I think you play the time like this, ride like this to the battle. That would ring off anyways.
Yeah,
ball drop by French.
But I don't think I have to like. I don't think I'm gonna be doing the ball drop, so I'm not too worried about it.
You're not dropping balls. This.
I'm chilling. I'm gonna be chilling.
Definitely gonna be dropping balls after it.
I know. Pause. I know for my set, you know, Sammy and I, like I said, so it's 11:30 to 12:30 for our set. So in the middle of his set,
yeah, that's fire.
It's gonna be the ball drop, which will be cool. Dope. So I'm assuming it'll probably be all night longer if I had to guess.
A good way to kind of actually understand why it is so difficult to pick a song this year is how about we go through Complex's best songs of 2023 list?
Let's do that. See if we can get some ideas going.
So I think they have a top 50, so we're not going to do all that. But what I like to do with these lists is start at the bottom 10. And then do the top 10 just so we can start to kind of see what we're working with.
Sure.
And going through this list, they do a decent job of being diverse.
Sure.
It's not just hip hop, you know. And I think a lot of these placements do make sense, but they are as inevitably some misses. Number 50, we have Groovy featuring Jax, Jersey Love. Song I've never heard of before.
Me either.
But number 50. Number 49, we have Naomi Sharon's Definition of Love. Number 48, we have the Mexican OT featuring Paul Wall and Drody, Johnny Dang.
That's kind of fire.
Yeah, music video is sick. Number 47, we have Black, Since I Have a Lover. Number 46, we have Lil Uzi Verse, Watch This, Arizona Tears, Plugged Remix?
Yeah, it's like
the big viral TikTok watch it, one. Yeah. 45, we have La Tyler, First Show. 44, we have Sleepy Hollow featuring, how do you say her name? Doechii?
Doechii?
Anxiety. This song, like, is pretty new.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's that great. 43, Key Glock's Dirt. 42, Nicki Minaj's FTCU.
Really?
Slides in the last second.
Wow.
Yeah, what do you think of that? I mean, it already made a lot of noise in the 3 weeks it's been around.
People are saying this is their best body of work.
We'll get to that.
Yeah.
41, Rod Wave featuring 21 Savage, Turks and Caicos. 40, Doechii's What It Is.
What It Is.
So that's the bottom 10. So just kind of letting y'all see like what we're working with here.
Wow.
Do we have any early... Oh no! Have you guys seen this list? I forget.
You haven't
seen this list.
No.
I glanced at it,
but you know what's number one.
Yes, I do.
Okay. Do you know what's number one?
I don't.
Do you have a? Do you want to put in a guess of what number one? The number one song of
2023? Give it a guess.
Is it from 2023 calendar year? Or
yeah, yes, yeah, yes, definitely. Yes, yes.
Don't be weird. For people who haven't seen it or listened to it.
Fuck.
Yeah.
Dude, I don't know. I don't think it's a hip hop song.
Okay. Is that all you want to put out?
It's a Jace.
Dude, this is what I'm saying. Stop being weird. Just
I'm
shut
just
up.
A Jace, dude.
Shut up.
I don't think it's a hip hop song. I think it was probably on the radio. I don't know. It was probably maybe Calm Down. I don't know.
Okay. Number 10, we have Killer Mike featuring Andre 3000, Future, Scientists and Engineers. Number 9, I hated this one. Offset featuring Don Toliver, Worth It. I don't think this song is good at all. And the fact that it's this high is insane.
You don't like Worth It?
Do you guys play it?
No.
I don't either.
I don't play it.
Thank you. Rest my case. Thank you. I think with the sample, Don Toliver is the highlight. I think Offset does not have to be on it. If it was just a Don Toliver record, I'd probably like it more.
Yep.
Okay. The sample is cool. Like, we know it, but it's like, I don't even think it's the best version of that sample. Yeah. And like Offset's verse sucks.
It's high, that's pretty high up though.
That's high that's as high fuck. Up, that's yeah. top 10.
A lot of songs came out this year. That's dude, high up.
When I start like put when I start naming the next songs, you're gonna be like you're gonna start being like why it was worth it around these songs. Mm. You see what I'm saying? Because right after we have 8 Ice Spice's Deli, huge record.
Yep.
Huge. 7 I really like this spot. We have Victoria Monet's On My Mama, huge record.
Yeah.
She had a really big year. Did a tour this year. And this was a really, really big record, which is interesting because it's not a banger of a record.
It's not like there's not really too much drums.
There's no, like, it's like very it's a minimal while
till the drums come in.
Mm-hmm. And but the music video was huge.
Yeah.
Big, you know, in pop culture. So shout out to Victoria Monet. I really like this placement. 6, of course, we have Tyla's Water.
Mm. Of course, that's
my new placement on my Mount Rushmore of shorties. By the way, Tyla, if you're listening. Please hit me up.
You got to be at the studio next time she's there.
Oh, my. Yeah, I know. Okay. Number 5. I don't know how I felt about this. It makes sense. Don't know if I agree with it. Number 5, we have Drake featuring J. Cole, First Person Shooter.
It should be definitely in the top 10.
You think so?
I think it should definitely be up there.
You think 5's high?
5 is not high for me. I think
5 is a little high.
Was that the biggest song he dropped this year?
Ooh.
Drake?
I think Rich. I think Rich Flex is bigger.
That was last year.
Was it?
Calendar year.
Calendar year? Yeah, was it?
So it was probably the probably biggest
his,
song he
probably his year. Biggest song.
It's yeah. number one of the year.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
That was interesting. Number 4, we have Lil Yachty, Strike. Number 4.
Interesting.
That's
a little high.
That's high.
I think it's high.
That's super high.
Listen, I'm not trying to be this guy.
Like bigger than water, I think it's crazy.
Yeah, I'm not trying to be that guy.
No, be that guy, because be real.
I'll be real.
You're the white guy on the show for a reason. Be the guy.
I'll be that guy if I have to. I feel like they're just pumping Yachty's tires a little bit too much.
It's complex.
But just like in general, like just they're giving him way too much.
The video was huge. Doing. It was big on the TikTok, you know.
So maybe that's their gauge, I guess.
But I think out of cuz his album was this year.
It was.
I don't think like if there was cool. If it was if it wasn't yeah.
But
nah,
I think this is high.
That's very high. That's very
to be
high.
In between First Person Shooter and number 3 with Sexy Red Ski. I think when you put the context on,
yeah,
it starts to not make sense. You know,
we're comparing apples to meatballs here. Like it's just not even close.
Number 2, what do you think?
Number 2.
If Ski was number 1, would you have been like upset about that?
Yes, I would.
I think it would make sense.
You have a
I think
case.
It would make sense, but I
was so dude, it's there's elementary school children who know this song. Right. Know every word to that song.
Yeah.
Which is sad.
Well.
Which is fucking sad.
Music's in a weird place. Yeah, I would be able to digest that better. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I would be like, you could make a case for it, so I wouldn't be too upset, but.
So.
They're trying to over-sexualize the kids.
Number 2, Fiend.
No.
No Travis Scott.
No Travis.
No Travis in the top 5?
No Travis. No.
Really?
No Travis in the top 10.
I would put I Know before.
I don't really like that
I kinda,
song.
I like it.
I like it.
Yo, when I saw Gordo, he played this crazy house remix of it.
Mm.
Oh, it was so That's good. It was like minimalist, obviously, but it was sick.
Yeah.
And then he also did one of what's the first track off of High? No, it's not High United, but it's you know what I'm talking
yeah,
about.
Yeah,
it was like a big build, and then it would be like the situation.
It was crazy. Off Utopia. Yeah,
it was crazy.
Yeah, you know.
Anyway, so we have 2 and 1 left.
I don't
Fiend
know.
Is not on it. I Know is not on it.
Top number 2.
Gunna's Fuck You Mean.
Valid.
Forgot about that. Yeah, definitely. I forgot that was a
it could,
yeah,
it could be anywhere in the top 5 for valid. Me. I think 2. I'm not mad at it.
You really can't think about what number 1 is?
Dude, because honestly, I wouldn't have said this was number 1. Don't say it yet.
I also haven't seen the rest of the list, so
yeah,
it's tough.
That's true.
That is true.
So number 1.
Statistically, it should
be. I don't think it's a statistically thing, though.
I think so. If you're one of the top, if you're the top streaming artist of the year,
yeah.
You're the top artist of the year.
We have Bad Bunnies, Monaco.
It's valid.
It is valid.
This song is infectious. I think about this song three times a day.
My thing about this song, though, the song is sick.
Yeah, I love
it. When I first heard it, I paused it and was like, holy fuck, and restarted it. Like, the beat's insane. It's him rapping. But the thing that made it kind of hard, like, are you guys playing this song a lot?
The transition when it goes into the little sample.
That's not. Are you playing this song a
lot? I play it every set.
I do.
And it gets reactions?
Yeah.
For me, it doesn't.
I do. I play the song a lot, but it doesn't get the crazy reaction that I think it should.
Yes, but for as big of a song as it is online and how it's on the background of everyone's reel and everyone's story and stuff, that doesn't translate on the dance floor at all.
It doesn't. I agree with you.
To me, in Latin places is where it gets
of course, crazy. But then that's an even deeper dive into the album itself, right? The fact that it's so lyrically dense, right, is why some of the maybe Un Verano Sin Ti aren't able to digest it as easily, right? So when we compare, like, okay, well, Me Porta Bonito is on Spanish too, but guess what? It's also one of like the most infectious
songs
ever.
It's a sing-along. It's a sing-along. It's like medley.
So when I drop Monaco into what would be an open format night, it's not.
Did he have a number one song of the year with any song off Un Verano Sin Ti or no?
Dude, the whole album was...
No, but was it number one? Did he have, like, the song of the year off with any of those songs?
I think Titi Me Pronto was it, right?
Titi was the one.
All right. That, I understand. I mean, you could make a case, but I agree with you. I think that if you have the song of the year, it should, on some level, translate well to, you know, nightlife and being on the dance floor and stuff. It is one of those songs because of, like, the energy of the song. It's not going to... I don't know. I feel like it should get bigger reactions than it does. And I do fucking sick shit with that song all the time. I'm like, damn, like, nothing crazy.
I get crazy reactions. I don't know what room you guys are in or how you're dropping it, but I'm really curious.
No, dude, I'm dropping it in fucking crazy ways, different ways, like every time.
I've tried like five different
ways. Once it comes in, it's like, oh, okay, this is that song that I hear every day.
Yeah.
And then once it, because it's also a long verse.
Yeah.
And it, halfway into his verse, the place has just died out because it is a trap song.
Yeah.
But it's not a way. Yeah. Woo! Like, you know, it's not a, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I use it as a way to like transition from like hip hop back to like reggaeton.
See, I use it as a way to transition into hip hop. So if you're doing reggaeton and people are so used to that rhythm and they want to hear the trap, it's more. It has that bounce, so it gets them more hype.
Yeah.
For me.
Yeah.
And when I drop it, I drop it a slam. And there's a slam that I have that it just goes, whoo, do 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 do. It just hits it. Doom, doom. So people just bounce, you know what I'm saying? Then it goes, D-man, no good, do good.
But that's what that gets for the Latinos that know it.
Yeah.
But then past that, the place dies. That's what I'm saying. Because it's not it's just him rapping. And that's what I mean. The song becomes pretty linear pretty quickly.
That's a good point.
That in the chorus is pretty catchy. But it is a long verse. And like, it's bars.
Yeah,
so
it's bars. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. So, some honorable mentions that made it scattered throughout the list. Loving on Me made it on. Miley Cyrus's Flowers made it on. We have Cali's Area Codes has made it on. Boy's a Liar made it on. Bad Bunny's Fina made it on. 41's Bent made it on, which I was really happy
about.
That's
a good song.
Travis, I know, did make it on. I think it might be the only Utopia song that made it.
Taylor Swift?
At number 24.
I'm surprised she wasn't top 10.
But did she...
Did she drop?
Did she drop this year, though? She went on the tour this year.
Oh, you're right. I think you're right. I didn't know she dropped a re-recording of her album.
Taliban's remix.
No, she did drop.
Was 17.
She did drop. She dropped earlier this year.
I
remember.
Central C and Dave Sprinter 13, and right out of the top 10 was Doja Cat's "Paint the Town Red,"
which is dope.
Something that was shocking to me that wasn't here was actually Davido's "Unavailable." Was not on this list.
That should have definitely been on that fucking list.
You know, there was definitely a couple snubs as far as songs that... Dude, Unavailable was huge.
Yeah.
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 But that's why I was like, the fact that Taliban's made it, but not Unavailable is interesting. And the fact...
There's no Burna Boy on there either.
Right? Burna Boy, it's the remix for Taliban's. But but yeah, like, I mean... Burna Boy's new album
on there? No.
So But thing is, I don't know how to explain this, man. Like, I think the hits off of Burna Boy's latest project compared to the one before do not stack up the same way.
Yeah.
Like, when you think of, like, the last, and like, it's just not the same.
Yeah, those
like,
are iconic.
Like, his, like, see, I mean, City Boys is going to be a classic, I'm sure, in the Afrobeats world, and Sit on Top of the World, too. I don't know. Maybe just because they're not,
really like
they're not conventional Afrobeats, maybe. But, like, they ring, definitely, in the Afrobeats crowds and stuff like that. But I don't know. They don't. They just don't hit as much as, like, some of his other singles and classics did, in my opinion.
Well, I hope music gets better next year.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
What about what about some slept-on projects for you guys? Because, obviously, like, as DJs, we are consumers of all different types of music, but predominantly, like, we do consume a lot of music that we have to play to the crowds. What are some slept-on projects that you guys personally enjoyed out of your time for preparing for, you know, your DJ sets?
This year, slept-on projects this year.
Well, I think, again, just going back to just Davido in general, his album that he dropped this year was really, really good. And for people that follow him as an artist, he kind of was like the godfather of mainstream Afrobeats.
Yep.
But then like kind of disappeared.
Was he?
I think him and Wizkid.
I think it was him and the Joanna dude.
Mm-hmm.
I think Afrobeat was the song as far as the artist, like the fact that there was like that 1 year, what, 2018, where you're playing three Davido songs, must play Davido songs.
But that came before that. So I think that kind of opened the door. So you can't remove him from that conversation.
But I'm saying like...
Just consistency?
I'm saying because... Name five Afrobeat songs.
No, but that's what I'm saying. It's not about... It's just how big that song
yeah,
was.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm not taking that away from
it. To break down the door. For somebody to be able to listen to a fall...
Sure, sure. Like no, I get what you're saying, and I'll pay that respect to Afrobeat, but to me, Davido and Wizkid are the two artists that were like, this is Afrobeats. Like,
the door's
these,
open.
We're here. This is the music that we make.
And Newly, Remo.
Him
now.
Too.
And Newly, yeah. So what I was going to say was, Davido took a big, I don't know what it was, if it's a step back, step down, whatever. I don't really know his situation that much, but where you have Remo, Ruger, like these other, obviously Burna Boy, come and take that spot.
Thames.
Thames had a huge few years, but Davido wasn't really dropping records. He had a couple features here and there, but then he comes out with his album, Timeless. Oh my God. And which is obviously what Unavailable came out of. In the Garden was huge.
Couple projects on my end, which I love this year and can't wait to see their work next year. So Larger Than Life, Brent Faiyaz, still getting amazing replays for me.
Huge replays for me.
I think him and SZA are definitely putting R&B on their back.
Yep.
SZA's definitely more in like the, I would classify as the hip-hop end of the spectrum of that genre, but dude, Brent, like...
I mean, her album was very R&B though.
It was, but like, you know what I mean? Like a lot of hi-hats and stuff like that. Her album is very R&B heavy. Don't get me wrong.
That album's going to go down. Like it's going to age really
I love that album. I'm still listening to it a lot, but Larger Than Life gives me that nostalgic like 90s, 2000s feel.
Yeah, bro.
Bro, it's so good.
So good.
And then another slept on project, Tizo Touchdown's album, How Do You Sleep at Night? I don't know if you guys listen to that.
Yeah, shout out Nolo, friend of the show.
He
was telling me a lot about him, and I'm looking into his music more and more and more. Tizo was the guest at the Travis Scott concert too.
I saw that.
Really dope dude. Who I'm really excited. You know, he's like not that young. It's not like he's like new. He's
dude, because like, I saw he has like projects.
Yeah,
out.
Yeah. He's been around, but he's just finally breaking through.
I think it was because of the Travis feature on Modern
Drake,
Jam
and Drake
and Drake's features on Drake's albums, and I was like, oh, let me like check this guy out. And I was like, yo, this guy's fucking fire.
Well, yeah. Some of my favorite
projects. He's 31.
So wild. Some of my favorite projects of the year have been Newly, the Nicki Minaj album. I think for me is close to flawless as you can get for me. It brought me back to a lot of the old school sounds and stuff like that. Just her penmanship. I feel like she sounds like she's on top of her game. Doja Cat killed it.
Yeah,
album. Yeah, yep.
Great album.
Murdered that album. Yeah. But
she's so talented. She's so talented, dude.
It's not out yet. We got some snippets, right?
Wait. I don't want to go there yet.
I want to talk about Nicki's.
I want to talk about Pink Friday first.
Did you really digest that album yet?
I listened to the whole thing multiple times.
Twice. Two, three times.
But, so it's Pink, okay, so it's Pink Friday 2, right?
Yeah.
It's not better than Pink Friday 1. It's not. It's just not.
Name the songs on Pink Friday 1.
Moment for Life. Starships. Super Bass.
Yeah. Fucking, is Roman's Revenge on it? If Roman's Revenge is on it, I rest my case. Hold on, let me bring up Pink Friday 1.
Yeah, please do.
Yeah, it's Roman's
Revenge. So this is 2010. Yeah, Roman's Revenge is on it. Did it on him. Moment for Life. Your Love.
Dude.
It's a big album. Huge. So for her to call this part two,
Your Love,
I think she did a great fucking job. There's no skips on this for me. For me. And me, you know, I'm super fucking critical.
Yeah, so the complete edition has Starships, Super Bass, Bedrock is included in this.
Right.
Which is nuts.
I think.
How the fuck did she do that?
I this is what I said. I think
Right Through Me's on the
You Pink see right through me. How do you do that?
I just don't think it's better than Pink Friday 1 is one. And when you first texted us and said that this is a perfect album, I definitely did not.
I think when you're doing what usually people do when albums come out is you're just comparing it right away. I don't feel like you've lived with the
game. It's called Pink Friday 2.
No, and but that's why it should be compared.
No, but it's not where it's compared to like, oh, you can't compare. Like Michael Jackson's going to drop. He dropped Bad.
He didn't drop Bad.
Listen. It doesn't matter. But she still dropped it. It's one of her iconic albums. But
we're on the same page.
I feel like the nostalgic of that album, and I feel like where she's at lyrically with that album, I feel like where her
vocal delivery is. I'm not saying it's a bad album.
I never said it was better than that. I never talked about saying it's better than Part 1. So I don't even know where that coming from. And why
is Pink Friday? Is Pink Friday 1 a perfect album?
Yes. I think it is.
I don't even think it's a perfect album.
I think it is. I think if she touched every market. She went number one with those records. Those records you still play now. I feel like these records that are on there now are going to be the it's going to have that same effect with Nicki. I feel like next year you're going to be playing a lot of those Nicki songs.
I'll say this. I don't know. That I don't know because a couple of reasons, but I feel like this album definitely more hip hop heavy, which she definitely flexed her pen, which was sick.
Yes,
like,
yes. I thought it great was rapping on this album.
Great rapping, but again, to call it Pink Friday 2, I feel like she didn't do half as near the amount of like pop and singing that she did in Pink Friday.
Yeah, she did. That's why I told you guys didn't really listen to this album like that.
Hold on.
You guys didn't really listen to this album like that,
which I agree with you.
My issue with the pop records that she did do is. And I said this when we talked about like greatest dance records. It's like when they're remakes and interpolations or whatever you want to call them of other songs, it's just really hard for me to give that to her. So when we think about her biggest or her most poppy songs, we have Red Ruby, The Sleaze,
mm-hmm.
Pink Friday Girls, Super Freaky Girls,
mm-hmm.
and Everybody.
Mm-hmm.
All four in which are complete remakes of already hit songs from different decades and different genres.
I feel like if she does one or two on the album, different story. But to have like your biggest hits all
thank
be
you. Yes. To me, it's just not original enough to like. I'm like, do we like the song because Nicki did it in this very dope, creative, original way, or just because she just is using already existing timeless hits? So inevitably, it's going to be a big hit.
It's gonna
sound good and be cool to listen to because the original song that it's using is already a classic, timeless hit.
I think she's too good of an artist to like.
Yes, to resort to that. Yes, 100%.
Yeah, remind me not to use your drug dealer because I don't know what the fuck you're smoking. But anyways, I think it's a great album.
Your point is fine.
You have your point. That's great.
You talk so much about how Drake is unoriginal, needs to do new shit. I'm applying that same rhetoric to this thing.
It doesn't matter if she used an interpolation of a song or not. It's how she did it. If it came out great, it came out great. It's not where I'm listening to, oh shit, this is kind of whack. Just to me with my fucking ear, I feel like.
How many times you listen to Pink Friday Girls, bro? You think that's a good song? You think Pink Friday Girls is a good song?
I've played it and it works.
That's not what I fucking asked. I play a bunch of shitty songs.
I think it's a good song. I think it's a good song.
I don't think it's a good song. I think it's literally just making the song for what it is and the target for where it's going to do.
I think it's going to do what it. I think it's going to do what it's meant to do. There's a song for every genre on this album.
Starships was an original pop record that didn't sound like anything.
Whoopi fucking do.
And that's why they stand the test of time. I don't think
people. I'm not comparing the two albums. I have yet to compare the two albums.
Is Godfather 3 not the worst Godfather?
That's y'all doing. If y'all can compare that shit if y'all want, that's not what I fucking did.
Why didn't you call it something
I'm
different?
Not comparing the two albums. I'm saying the album that came out this year that I'm listening to is a great fucking album. That doesn't take away from the first one. And this one, the first one will take away from this one. I don't give a fuck.
Is Toy Story 2 not better than Toy Story 1?
I don't give a fuck. I don't care.
Debatable.
I don't care. I really don't. I enjoyed both fucking movies. I enjoyed both movies equally, and that's what I'm talking about.
Fast and Furious 15, is that good as Fast and Furious Tokyo Drift?
No.
All right, then.
Rest my case.
There's like 40 fucking Fast and Furious, bro.
Pink Friday 3 coming out.
And I enjoyed most of them, so... Shout out to Nicki Minaj. You did your fucking thing. I hope the Bob's here. I'm not tearing you guys apart.
I'm not.
It's a good album.
Dude, I enjoyed it. But again, called Pink Friday. She's subjecting herself to it by calling it Pink Friday 2. She called it Kittens and Rainbows. Guys, I would have this conversation.
Would you guys not doing it? This is what artists hate. Is you guys just go straight to comparing it to something.
Why call it Pink Friday 2? How are we not going to compare?
It doesn't matter. It doesn't mean you don't take the songs for what they are. You're literally going there, okay, I'm going to put this song next to this song. It doesn't matter. You don't do it like that. Listen to the songs. If you like Pink Friday 1 better, say that. But to be like right off the fucking bat, you'd be like, oh, no, it's not. The first one's better, so I really don't give a fuck. Like, it doesn't make the argument is just stupid to me. And for the artist, it's frustrating when you're creating like that because it's like, yo, you're not really, so you don't really care because you're so attached.
Why did she call me Friday too? Why?
You should have someone, listen to her fucking interviews and she'll tell you why. She feels like she's in her bag the way she was back then because she feels like, what was the album before this? The fucking Queen?
You don't even know.
Queen? She didn't feel like she was in her bag and I feel like she felt pressured. This one, she felt free. She felt that. She tweeted 2 years ago, Pink Friday 2, not knowing she was going to call it that.
So she had it.
So it's a nostalgic feeling that her as an artist that we can't sit here and just judge her off of because none of you guys can rap. So we can't even sit there and do that. So she felt what she felt, and I respect her for it. That's it, period. Ball drop. What?
I appreciate you.
Somebody got to stand up for the artist.
Before Sagittarius. She's a Sagittarius.
She's Saggy.
You know what I'm saying? It's different shit. Before we wrap, do want to, as you were ready to creep into, the long-awaited.
My favorite album of the year is not out yet.
Yeah, honestly.
It's so true.
Right.
I was hoping we would get it.
It's stressful. But we all know that it wasn't going to drop when they said it was going to drop. They still say it's going to drop on the 30th. But Vultures.
Oh, God. Am I
original? Yeah.
So, we do have fingers to kind of break down what's going on with Vultures, man.
Well, you know, Kanye and Ty Dolla $ign, you know, Ty Dolla $ign for me, as them together, him and Kanye, has always been what's so fucking funny. What's so funny?
I just love how into, like, because you don't really have a lot of your own segments. You're more of a color commentator.
Because you hog the fucking mic all the time. And you don't like my segments because you think we're going to get canceled and shit.
You're the color commentator. Like, Cammy has his segment.
I'm the colored commentator?
You're the color commentator.
You said I'm the colored commentator?
I'm laughing because I'm just so happy to see.
Is that what you just said?
I said color. I didn't say colored.
Can you rewind that shit and put it in slow motion, dude? The fuck?
I'm laughing because I'm just so happy of how into your segment you are. You like tightened up and you're like, you put on your like big boy voice. I'm just happy to hear it.
That's low-key hate.
What?
That's low-key hate. Isn't that low-key hate? He wants to be Mr. A mic all the fucking time,
dude. You guys laugh because I go into my like news reporter voice.
Yeah, see, but it's usually him, and it's not. Now it's your segment.
Talking, I don't go in the fucking background. Dude, you're on the mic. It's a live fucking mic.
I forgot. Sometimes I forget.
All right, next time you go in the fucking segment.
Dude, please. Okay.
Let's start. Kanye's dropping the album. It's coming whenever the fuck it's coming. You know what it is. Vultures. Whatever. Fucking my whole vibe. Anyways. Kanye's Vultures is dropping suit, Ty Dolla $ign. That's
no, do the fucking segment.
I don't fucking want to do it no more. You fucked up my swag.
I was just giggling.
You fucked up my swag.
I'm a happy guy.
Yeah, well, Kanye's dropping soon. Pay attention. This is a good album.
Fingers, cut. I'm turning his mic off. Why don't you talk to me?
What
talk
the fuck?
Tell us about it.
No, you're not going to peer pressure me into doing it no more. He fucked up my swag.
I turned off his mic. You're good.
I don't give a fuck.
All right, dude.
We're not going to do it?
No, end the show.
All right, bad vibes going into 2024, I guess. Thanks so much for listening to the show. Thanks for supporting this year.
Happy New Year.
Please continue to listen, comment, subscribe, like, and share. Put somebody on, man. And we'll see you next year.
Peace.